And this is a tape of 20 September 1967, made on an island in the sea, and it is addressed to all staff and students of Scientology organizations. The background noise that you hear is not, in actual fact, tape noise. It is the wind howling up a cliff and hitting over the area where I am sitting. Out before me here is the wide blue sea with ships passing by, a few fleecy clouds overhead, and the bright sun shining down. I am giving you this short talk because you might have wondered what I was doing. Rumor lines are not very reliable, to say the least, and in a world which is as wog as this one, are not likely to even approach truth. I do not like to create a mystery with regard to our activities. You have heard mention of the Sea Org, the Sea Organization, and you are likely to hear other mentions of it as time goes on. This is in reality just another Scientology organization, with the difference that it handles extremely advanced work and materials, and its personnel are OTs. Its mission is to bring clears through the upper levels safely and certainly and with speed, and it also has the mission of getting in ethics. On Earth, it would be quite impossible to bring in a totality of Scientology technology without first bringing in ethics. We have learned that technology does not thrive in an area which is interbulated and which has many suppressives and factors which are hostile to the better side of life. We are, in organizations, making progress to the degree that they bring in good order inside the organization and in their immediate areas. Only then do we have technology effective and functioning. The only time that Scientology technology is ineffective is when it is not used or when it is altered considerably. To give you a little background history, a sort of Ron's journal, I have to tell you some of the things which have been going on in the last few years, of which you are not particularly well informed, I'm sure, but of which you have heard some vague rumor. On January the 22nd of 1963, the Food and Drug Administration made a raid with drawn guns on our organization in Washington, D.C., immediately after we had offered to then-President Kennedy assistance in his national programs with the use of Scientology. His reply to this, apparently, was to order a raid on our organization. I determined at that time that organizations must carry on a line of defense and that I must accelerate the technology advance and wrap up the entire subject in a very short time. I have probably done something on the order of a century of research in the very few years since 1963 and can advise you now that I have completed any and all of the technology required from WOG to OT. The FDA raid, thanks to the able actions of the Washington organization and the defense which I arranged and other things, eventually came to nothing. It was heard sometime earlier this year, and at this time I have yet to hear of any finding being handed down or any further action taken. There have been in the United States several income tax attacks on Washington, D.C., on myself, and on the nonprofit status of the organizations there, and I wish to advise you that all this has been delayed now, and you might say put in mothballs by the government pending some sort of activity. There was an income tax attack on myself earlier this year and last year, and from the United States, and both of these actions were won by ourselves, which more or less removed any danger from the Washington organization, since the government was using it, attacks on me, as a pretext to seize the Washington organizations. In this, they failed utterly and completely. In 1966, knowing that the world would not go on forever without war, and knowing that it might be very advisable for us to have all of our materials in a safe repository, I went down to Southern Africa in order to establish an area where this could be affected. What happened there is that the people of the countries involved began to write me fan mail in floods. I appeared many times on TV and radio, and my popularity was very great. And this could not be confronted by a fellow named Smith and some others, and they refused to extend my visa. There was no more to this than that. There have been several parliamentary attacks upon us, and the state of these attacks is very interesting. Only one parliament, that of Victoria in Australia, ever took any action of any kind, and all other parliaments were incapable of bringing about any action, and one right after the other have faded away. With all of this action being taken against us in the last 17 years, I found, after the Southern African matter, that it was vitally necessary that I isolate who it was on this planet who was attacking us. The attacks were always of the same pattern. They always followed the same newspaper routes. They always used the same type of parliamentary member. And I thought that I had better look into this very thoroughly. The organization, under the direction of Mary Sue, employed, and actually had employed earlier than I returned from Southern Africa, employed several professional intelligence agents who had long and successful professional backgrounds, and they looked into this matter for us, and the results of their activities, although still in progress, have told us all that we needed to know with regard to any enemy we had on this planet. Our enemies on this planet are less than 12 men. They are members of the Bank of England and other higher financial circles. They own and control newspaper chains, and they are, oddly enough, directors in all the mental health groups in the world which have sprung up. Now, these chaps are very interesting fellows. They have fantastically corrupt backgrounds, illegitimate children, government graft, a very unsavory lot. And they apparently, sometime in the rather distant past, had determined upon a course of action. Being in control of most of the gold supplies of the planet, they entered upon a program of bringing every government to bankruptcy and under their thumb, so that no government would be able to act politically without their permission. The rest of their apparent program was to use mental health, which is to say psychiatric electric shock and prefrontal lobotomy, to remove from their path any political dissenters. They were the people behind the Siberia Bill, which almost passed the House of Representatives in the United States and did pass, if I remember rightly, the Senate, which gave the power to any governor of any state in the United States simply to pick up anyone on the street and send him to Alaska. We defeated this Siberia Bill and many other mental health quote-unquote acts of this character, but never really before knew from whom they were coming. Anyway, these fellows have gotten nearly every government in the world to owe them considerable quantities of money through various chicaneries, and they control, of course, income tax, the government finance. Wilson, for instance, the current Premier of England, is totally involved with these fellows and talks about nothing else, actually. They organized these mental health groups which sprang up simultaneously all over the world, and anything that has mental health in it, as in its name, or mental hygiene, or other things of that character, such names as that, are all part of the organization which stems from these less than a dozen, really, men. Now, this is very interesting because we innocently moved forward in 1950 and came straight across this very, very broad plot. If there was a cure to mental illness, then people would say, you had better send him to an auditor, and would begin to ask questions if someone was electric shocked or given a prefrontal lobotomy, whereas only by electric shocking and prefrontal lobotomies could they effectively remove their political enemies or objectors. Now, of course, these fellows are very suppressive indeed, and they are actually quite miserable. They are there fighting the Martians, and everyone and anyone is their enemy. They are very badly served. Any of their people can be bought for £100. These fellows are unable, of course, as any suppressive, really to complete a cycle of action, and they always choose the wrong target whenever they go about anything. They have failed in nearly every part of their mission, except this one of making every government bankrupt and owe them fantastic sums. Now, these chaps control newspaper chains through one of their number, Sir, I don't know if it's Sir, but it's Cecil King, and these newspaper chains go down into Southern Africa, they go into Australia, they go into, of course, all parts of the world. And this newspaper chain was what was being used to try to give us a bad name. It was very interesting that the only effort they ever made was simply to discredit us. That is what they could be counted upon to do, simply discredit us and discredit the workability. There is no faintest doubt in their minds but what our technology does work, because many other such activities as Subub and so forth have gone on unmolested by them. It is only the intensely workable technology of Scientology which has attracted their ire. They have collected rather interesting files on us, our people and organizations, and their orders concerning what to do about this as part of their files all makes very interesting reading. We, of course, have full copies of their files. It was, of course, their bad luck to tangle with someone who had been trained in the field of intelligence by the Allied governments, which is myself, and they had insufficient security and insufficient loyalty amongst their own people to keep out the intelligence agents which we sent in against them. That is a very cloak and dagger activity, which is more or less over at this time. We have, however, our own files on them, and a corrupt lot they are. I think we probably have enough to discredit them utterly if we ever published what we knew. But our position with regard to this dozen fellows, I think they number about 10, really. Count in a couple of their major henchmen, and you have a dozen. I think probably that they will never be successful at anything. Suppressive seldom are. Gradual inflation is leading them forward to where even their own personal fortunes will probably be eclipsed in the debacle which they themselves are manufacturing. Gradual inflation of money will, of course, make theirs worthless, too. Now, these people are not our major objective. We are not even vaguely dedicated to their destruction. Otherwise, we long since would have utilized the information which we have on them. If you were driving a fire engine toward a raging fire and some cur dogs rushed out to bark at your wheels, I don't think you would stop and begin to fight the cur dogs unless you were quite mad, of course. And that is our position. There is a fire which we are en route to put out. And this is the line we are traveling. And this other is merely a sideshow which has been impeding and has made the work relatively difficult. It is rather hard to drive with a dozen cur dogs getting in underneath your wheels and around and about the fire engine. But you see at once that the world is not full of people who are against us. As a matter of fact, they went much too far, and the public has now begun to turn in our direction. They said too much, which was untrue. The man who was hired by Sir William Carr, one of these fellows, to smash Scientology through the press, was made the editor of the London Daily Mail. He published in his own column a great many vicious things concerning Scientology, and at the end of the road, the newspaper had lost 80,000 circulation, and he was dismissed. Further, this was the only London newspaper which engaged upon a program of that nature against Scientology. Recently, some magazine has written the most interesting letter I think I have read for some time. They wanted to know when they could interview me because they had to have a story on a man who was changing our times and who was this and that, all very laudatory, rather amazing. The state of the FDA is amazing because in their press releases, which they have handed out, they have said that they had to be very careful with me because there was no telling where I might turn up. And they went on for many pages saying how Scientologists were quite elusive. And the whole tone of the thing is that they were afraid of us. And this is very interesting. Because we don't happen to be after them. But now the attack is on the basis that we're after them. They are not after us. As a matter of fact, if they only knew it, we couldn't be less interested. The program which I am laid down and embarked upon in January of 1963 has been brought off to total success at the moment through the world, aside from a few yapping voices heard here and there. Things have never been quieter than they are now. We're winning through this rather easily through the great alertness of organizations and their staffs, and through the services of intelligence officers, and through my strategy on the matter, Mary Sue's extremely good work, and overall coordinated performance by us, and not permitting ourselves to be distracted from our main purposes, has all come out toward a very high win for us. And amongst all those, I have been able, despite all of these other things that I had to do, to bring off and bring forward to its total conclusion the research and so on up from clear to OT. Well, now, as you may have suspected, I do not necessarily lead a quiet life. I was not much made for an ivory tower or even a desk. And my adventures during the past few months have been rather interesting, to say the least. So long as we are elusive, or Fabian, we grow strong. So I have examined these statistics, and we have grown in numbers to the degree that nobody could quite put a finger on what we were doing. Therefore, I have maintained considerable security and shall continue to do so on the activities in which we are engaged, but that does not make them a secret, of course, from Scientologists.